With high resolution graphics, stereo and state-of-the-art sound, it's the Sega Guys, here with double your podcast enjoyment. I'm Dan the Mega Driver, and I'm accompanied by my good friend, the shinobi to my ninja princess, it's James the Sagaholic. Mate, how are you doing?
Very good, mate. Very good. How's yourself?
Yes. Yes. Blinding, mate. Blinding. A few little bits and bobs delivered recently. Wife gave me a few concerned looks around the number of devices coming in. Obviously, thank you very much for shipping over the PlayStation 2. Viewers can
expect long enough.
Viewers can expect. Oh, when you sent it, mate, it came over like so fast.
Well, at least the delivery made up for it.
But yeah, I replaced my janky old one where the tray was falling apart. And it's not through my use. I bought it like that because it was cheap. But yeah. Yeah, I picked up, you know, Timu do their freebies, don't they? They give you a free gift. So I got this weird thing. It's the retro game box of the actual consoles upstairs. I selected as, like, you know, what can it, well, how bad can it be? It's not great. But
is that one of those, like, all-in-one emulation boxes that you see on, like, TikTok ads?
No, I thought it would be. I thought it would be. That's what I was hoping it would be, just like something I could play, like Mega Drive, you know, Master System, Super Nintendo games on the move. But no, it's just I'd say it's NES games, but it's 196 games. But what they've done is they've cut all the levels and events out of games. So, for example, you get track and field, right? But when you select through the games, you've got like 100 meter dash. And then you go through a few pages and you find like pole vault, and you go on a few more, find long jump, and it's just, yeah, it's free, mate. But
the old saying, you get what you pay for.
Exactly. How's things yourself?
Ain't no bad, mate. Just a bit of a nice distraction to sit there and talk about games after the week I've had. So yeah. I just look forward to getting into it, mate, and like yourself. Not a delivery, but I had a pickup here. I wanted to show this off, right? Because we were over picking up some toys for my daughter's 7th birthday during the week from Smith's. Really want to go to Smith's Toy Superstore. Not a paid promotion. of course, I had to go down and look at the Transformers. It's just one of those things that old habits die hard, mate. It's the thing that I've done since I was a kid. Every toy shop, find the Transformers. And the section was quite small, but I did come across Leader Class Galvatron Studio Series from Transformers the Movie. So I've had it out and kind of had a play about with it. I haven't transformed it yet, but it's quite cool because it comes on this. He's got all his stuff.
Yeah, has that background superb.
It comes with, that's the kind of box that it sits in, and then inside that again. I think all the Studio Series have all got this, because I think I've seen, was it Videopolis? He got the Studio Series 86 Optimus Prime, and it had a similar thing in it as well, but it's got a second insert that basically doubles as a display stage.
Brilliant.
The coronation. I was surprised that the accessories that came with it wasn't a pile of ash. just
and a crown for him to step on.
Comes bundled with Starscream.
Comes with the Matrix, though, doesn't he?
Aye, he's got that around his neck. See,
Matrix can't be opened.
Oh, it's fell off. I don't know, headbutt. We chain, it's we Matrix. It will do you no good, Autobot. It cannot be opened. Aye. I think I've had the old kind of PTSD about Galvatron since obviously getting the toy as a kid.
The original one.
Let's be honest, it was absolutely shite. You know, much like Ultra Magnus as well, just really horrific blocky toys. The best bit about Ultra Magnus was that we used the white cab as a ghost of Optimus Prime. We all did it.
Yeah.
That's why you're laughing. But... Aye.
So, even his hands were white.
I know, it's like everything was just with those wee daft eyes. It was he, did he know that? Was his wee visor, his wee mouth guard was blue, wasn't it? On
No,
that,
the original one. I've still got him upstairs, but
was that white as
he's,
well?
I had two of them, and they both broke because of the hinges on his arms, where he turns into the trailer are so flimsy. I tried so many times to replace, but yeah, it's better than Galvatron, I think, because Galvatron was just like his transformation is just him laying down and sticking his feet together and his head going in, whereas Magnus had a pretty decent transformation, but he just felt. No, he couldn't move his legs. He had no articulation, no beautiful spread, no rotation at the hip.
Aye. Every ball joint has a rotation. It's like that. No Jobby the Hong here. Nah, he'd had a right fun time with the G1 toys, man. Jesus. But I had to pile it up when I seen it. I say 55 quid, mate. It went in amongst the presents for my daughter, so that kind of it absorbed it. It's like the total costs was of everything, so it kind of masked it. If I just went up and paid 55 quid on its own, I would have been like, but nah, I like Galvatron. I think he's a good character.
Yeah.
So, nice to finally have a decent figure.
7 years old, mate. I can't remember when she was two. It's when we started this.
That's mad, isn't it? You know what I mean? Crazy, mate. Crazy.
Flies by, mate. Flies by. So yeah, speaking of pickups, we had a couple in the
Took
last.
long enough.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that. But
Yeah,
I think we both got our units with us. So we finally got our hands on some Astro City minis. And so we'll be going into, what it's like buying an Astro City in 2024, 2025 rather. 4 years after they were released in 2020, weren't they? 4 years after the fact, do they still deliver? Are they worth the price that you see now? So yeah, mate, I was thinking we just, start off with what they are, and then we'll talk about our pickups and our impressions, how we got hold of them. So they were,
Ah,
sorry, mate.
I was going to say, so in terms of how we got a hold of them, that'll be an interesting story because it wasn't me that found them.
To give some special thanks on this, but yeah, so they were actually released late 2020 in Japan. Took a while to get over here, didn't they? I think it was another 6 months or so that it came out in the US and was published only by Limited Run Games at the time, and then came out in PAL territories this time. Released via Just for Games, so Sega themselves didn't really have a hand in the Western releases of these, which I think that will play into some of my comments on some of the content on here later. But yeah, it was released as part of Sega's 60th anniversary, the whole Go Sega thing, which again that was around about the time we were getting started, wasn't it? Especially with the podcast, not with the YouTube channel, with the podcast, and. Yeah, this was their third mini console. So third after the original Mega Drive Mini, which was a success. The Game Gear Micro, which was an oddity. And then you had this. And then since we've had the Astro City, the only two mini consoles that Sega have given us since have been the Astro City V, rather. That is essentially just one of these with the screen rotated and a focus on mostly shoot 'em ups, shmups, and games where you had that Tarte mode enabled. And then we've had the Mega Drive Mini 2. So you look at those, mate, and I think this was the last truly new micro console that Sega did, because Mega Drive Mini 2 was the Mega Drive Mini again. The Astro City Mini V again was just an Astro City. So this was the last truly original Sega mini console. And with Sumi now saying that they're not a retro company and not going to be making any more retro consoles. Kind of makes it the last of its breed, doesn't it?
Last of its kind, mate. That's it. It's the last kind of original, as you say. It's everything that's come since has just been a kind of a refresh of what's gone before. And aye, it's a nice wee unit. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think the fact that they've kind of scaled down the design excuse me, of the actual cabinet itself. It looks lovely, but I think we've got a few opinions on this, because it's something that, I mean, back in the day, whenever we've seen it announced, I remember, like, being, also the standout was you're seeing Virtua Fighter on there, and you're like, oh, I would buy one for that alone. I just never get around to it. It was, don't get me wrong, I've had it on birthday lists and Christmas lists, you know, since then, and just never get around to it. I remember at one point I had it in my basket from Amazon in Japan. I think it was working at about 90 quid shipped or something from Amazon Japan, and that was the kind of cheapest I'd seen it. So it does kind of stand there as this kind of example of kind of what we're missing out on, but at the same time, there is some wee things about it, I think, that we both want to kind of get off our chest. But it's a nice wee unit, mate. I've had a bit of fun playing about with it. But as I say, we have got some views on it.
Yeah. And obviously the design itself, based on Sega's iconic Astro City cabinet. And yeah, my mind always goes back, mate. I know, we just, at the time of recording this, we just published the Final Fight video where we talked, you know, remembering our time playing Final Fight in Arcade Club, and just that section in Arcade Club, which is literally just wall-to-wall Astro City cabinets, is probably one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen, you know.
Oh, mate. And as we said before, you almost missed that room. Like, yeah, we only spotted it because we're heading to the left-hand corner to go to the stairs to go back up to the top floor. And then we glanced over to the right-hand side, and this room, and it's long and narrow, but it's just, as you say, mate, it's wall-to-wall up both sides. It's like there's literally only room in the middle to walk up and sit down at either side. Yeah. And they're all so beautifully preserved. There's not a yellowed one there. They're all beautiful, you know, pristine plastic, white. No retro brighting required here. imagine retro brighting one of them, mate. Jeez. A lot of peroxide and a lot of cling film. That's an amazing room. And I think a wee bit of the kind of nostalgia unpacking that, I think, is tied into that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I think that wee hook there is also very evident.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing is, when you haven't seen an arcade cab like that for a while, you kind of forget how good they are. Because I hadn't seen an Astro City in person for a good 20 years at least. Mm-hmm. And you forget how amazing they really are. Because modern arcade games are kind of done on an LCD screen, you know, since kind of mid-2000s especially. You know, you look at things like Street Fighter 4, Tekken 5, we're all on high definition displays and stuff. Mm-hmm. But these, you know, there's just the scan lines and the pixels and everything is just, there is just like, it's the ultimate CRT experience looking at one of these. They're absolutely gorgeous.
I replayed the Punisher on one. And it was honestly, like you're saying, mate, just like, it's probably like the sharpest, most clear CRT I think I've ever played on an arcade machine. Like you're saying, the scan lines, the pixels, the colours, like, so sharp, you could cut your finger, touch it, mate. It was beautiful. But every one of them, like, no matter what was running, or like your X-Men versus Street Fighter, I think, was it you and your son had played it, and obviously, yeah. I played against him and narrowly lost. Obviously, he's picked up his dad's fighting game genes there, because he's dodging every bloody fireball. I had him down to one little tiny bit of energy. I'm like, I'm going to get a win here. And then he just dodged and countered me an absolute peach. And I'm like, well played, man. That was good. Well played. But no, it's every game. I think it was at Cotton 2 we played as well.
Yeah,
on
Cotton
one.
2 was in there.
And just, oh, what a room. Like, mate, you could literally spend most of your day in there. There's that many games and machines. They're beautiful, absolutely beautiful, you know, in terms of the design. And obviously the reason they were made the way they were was to make them cheaper for arcades, to make them interchangeable, because they weren't like branded with the actual game, you know. So, which again kind of ties in quite well to the idea behind the mini console, because say 37 games that you get on it, kind of mirroring the whole idea behind it, that they're interchangeable for their games.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an iconic system. And yeah, as you say, not branded, so you get interchangeable games on there. It's not like when you got, like, I've got the Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition arcade one up, and obviously it's got more than Champion Edition on there, but it kind of breaks the illusion a little bit. We don't get that. It's not so much the case of the Astro City Mini, although obviously it's absolutely tiny by comparison.
Aye. I mean, I would like to get the least, like, the rest of the unit for it. I wouldn't mind getting, like, the rest of the cabinet, the kit, but the kit for that's almost the same price as this at this. I'm like, nah, I can't justify, is it $40 plus shipping for a plastic square to set a cabinet on top of, like, that? Nah, maybe like
Need
a
the stool,
tenner.
don't you? You need the stool, and you need the Akira figure.
That's right. I just complete the set. That's it. That's like that. And I say that's the appealing thing about these is also the price that we got them for as well.
Yeah, so we might as well talk about how we got our ones. And I think you're probably best placed to put this one, mate, because it was you who alerted me. And yeah, you were alerted yourself, weren't
Yep. That's what Jason does, right? He just makes me spend money. Like,
you?
he sends me stuff. Like this on offer or this down in price. And he sent me the link saying that Astro City Minis were down to, was it $50, $55 or something it was, or limited run games, which including tax and shipping, for us worked out about 64, just under £65 each. I did try and put two in the basket to buy them, and obviously it came up and says it's only one per customer. So it's like, mate, do you want an Astro City Mini? It's they're down in price on limited run games. And I know the thing with limited run, right? I know limited run have got their reputation and I normally wouldn't buy from them anyway, but I think given the fact that it was the only kind of place selling them at that price, I think it had to be done. So looking at it just now, just on the site, it's $54.99 wise. So again, even adding your shipping and your tax on, you're not going to be much more than 70 quid to get one shipped over to the UK. But aye, the shipping aspect was interesting because it took about a week for them to kind of market as shipped. And I think for another week and a half, it sat there with the label created for DHL, but didn't move anywhere. So it's basically the old trick that people on eBay do. The market is shipped, they provide a tracking number that they buy online, but they haven't actually taken it to the post office yet, so it just sits there. And then whenever it got to the UK, it was Evri who took hold of it, and finally it was the best part of it. Was must have been close to a month, wasn't it? Easily.
Yeah, it was about a month. It was a while.
Right, so but they got here, well enough packaged and whatnot. Box arrived nice and intact. The box is nice, don't get me wrong, but I mean, just having, like, look at that limited run logo in the back there. But the full titles list on the back, some nice little kind of screenshots and whatnot. Don't get me wrong, the artwork for it nice, with the wee Sega 60th up there as well. Whenever you open the box up, you get a nice wee message for the 60th as well. Says dedicated to all Sega fans around the world and to the creators who made history. So very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think my box was a little bit damaged in the corners, but it's still nice. It's still a lovely, lovely unit. It's pretty much, as far as I'm aware, it's absolutely identical to the Japanese one, apart from obviously the limited run games marking on there, which we'll get into. So yeah, limited run games, just they're never any rush to actually ship anything, are they? They are like the they'll you know they're worse than eBay sellers, mate. I think I was telling you I was having PTSD from when I ordered Panzer Dragoon and Streets of Rage 4 from limited run games.
You
And
showed me some of your order history. It's like, Jesus.
I ordered them both at the same time in February. Both came out around about March, and they didn't ship it until September. By that point, Streets of Rage 4 had actually got its own physical release, artificial. I just thought, oh, I'm never dealing with this company again. But the allure of a cheap Astro City Mini was far too much because, obviously, mate, if you go on Amazon right now, you're well over £100 to pick one of these up in the UK.
Aye. Even if you want to go to CEX, for example, they'd want £120 for one on CEX, you know what I mean? So, and as you say, aye, the Amazon Japan orders, they've crept back up as well over £100 as well. So, it's like, I actually get £84 voucher from CEX when I checked for one of them. So, I mean, was it you see these guys doing videos? They go in places and buy stuff cheap and then flip them in CEX for vouchers to go and buy something they really want. That's it. It was buy a big haul at Astro City Minis and trade them all in. Bye. So if you're wanting one just now without going through that kind of avenue, the limited run avenue, you're looking at over £100. So that's why I say £64.88, I think it came to, all in, which, you know, including tax and shipping is brilliant. So, aye, it was good to finally get one. But as I say, the experience of having one didn't quite match up to the vibe and the thought that I thought it was going to when it came across, when it first came out. A little bit different whenever you finally get your hands on it. Lots of positives, but there's some niggles in there as well.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of positives because I think the first thing that I sent to you was that it's glorious. Put on Bobby Roode's music because this is glorious. And I think first impressions really are. I mean, that was my first impression. It was a really impressive looking unit. I think the screen itself is pretty good. I mean, that's one thing you've got to consider for this sort of thing is because the Mega Drive Mini 2 was goes for around about the same price of, what was that, 120, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. As the Astro City is over here at the moment. And that doesn't have a screen. It only has one controller. And yeah, for a unit that has to come with a screen, it's not too bad, to be honest. So the controls, they feel solid. There's probably a few things that, you know, in terms of negative points, they do feel a bit cramped, a bit close together, just because of the form factor. But yeah, overall, love the UI as well, mate. The music, I think the music is original, isn't it? But yeah, I found myself humming that tune over and over again, the one in the music selection. But
the stock one, if you press the C button, you can actually cycle through background music on the menu as well. So you can have like Virtua Fighter's music playing if you want to on there. The screen itself is nice. Obviously it's in 16:9 format, so the purists will kind of, and I think that's the thing. I think that whenever you first get it, you see that you get all that from there, my fingers, that's the plastic and the bevel, or the bezel, sorry, but you still get this big line of black space kind of at the tops. So I think a lot of people, whenever before they turn it on, they think that the image is going to fill all of that. And that's the thing with Astro Cities as well. Whenever you actually see the real one, that CRT is that whole section that you see there. So the kind of, you see it running, the screen is lovely, but it's really, really small. It's like I've turned on the borders, the Astro City branded borders, to kind of fill it out. I think it would have been nice if, whenever you turn those borders off, if there was like a zoom function, you know, that you could fill the full thing. So it does feel there's a wee bit of a kind of waste of screen kind of real estate there. They could have stretched it up or whatever, but obviously that's as far as the screen actually does go. That's the full size of the screen, but it's sharp enough. The colors are good pops. You know, you can turn like kind of fake skylines on and off. It's not I don't mind the scanline effect. Like, you know, if you're having OSSC, mate, I love putting the scanline effect on. On this, I think it's a wee bit, it's not executed that well. It doesn't quite capture the kind of CRT look and feel as much as like an OSSC does. But I mean, in terms of kind of clarity, for what you're getting for the price, mate, it's a good screen. You know, it's probably, I'd say, as sharp as any older kind of generation iPhone screen, for example. You know, that I've seen. So, again, just saying, mate, for the price for a unit with a packed in screen, a display, you get what you pay for, mate. That's the same.
Yeah, it's clearly off the shelf items, with especially with the screen itself, because that's why obviously it's 16 by 9. You can't really buy a 4 by 3 LCD display these days, which is a shame because, yeah, as you say, you just do feel like you're losing screen real estate because you've got the borders at the top and the bottom, in addition to the ones left and right. The only thing that does feel the full 16 by 9 screen itself is the menu. So, but yeah. As soon as I played it, I think the first game I put on was Virtua Fighter, which looks stunning. I also connected it up to my monitor capture device, PC. Now, one thing that I did get frustrated about when I first played it, I suppose from your perspective, have you played it with anything other than the buttons and joystick that's on the face of it?
That's all I've used, mate.
Yeah, I got a little bit frustrated with it, so I dug out, and if you've got a Mega Drive Mini 2, the control pads for that are actually compatible. So you don't have to spend £50, I think is the current price on Amazon for the Astro City Mini controller. I don't know if you've seen those.
That's mate, I was looking at them last night, and the cheapest I just kind of went on eBay. There's people wanting 120 quid for one.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking hell. And I don't have my Mega Drive Mini 2 anymore, so I don't have any controllers to actually plug into it. So I had to use the controls that are on it. I had a bit cramped, but they're usable.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, they're usable, but if you couldn't sit and play for hours like that, man, you'd have like crazy taxi style claw hands by the end of it, you know. Just cramping all your joints, but I don't have any other means of playing it, so I've only used the actual built-in controls, mate.
Yeah, so yeah, it's pretty clever the way that you've got a player one and a player two port at the back, so you can, it matters where you plug your controller in. So when I was capturing footage for this episode, I was playing Virtua Fighter, and I plugged it into the wrong port. So when the footage plays, you'll see that I'm playing on the right hand side rather than the left. But that aside, I mean that's fine itself. I think the thing that frustrated me is for my Mini 2, I actually got one of these, which is the official Retrobit controller, and that comes with the dongle for the actual Mega Drive, the full size Mega Drive. You've got the 7-pin connector, and it also comes with a USB dongle. And it's one of the very few controllers. In fact, I think it's probably the only controller that's compatible with the Mini 2. But that wireless controller doesn't work with the Astro City for whatever reason. Apparently, any Retrobit controller that's wired will work with the Astro City, but it's just something for people to be cautious of, because if you do want to play, multiplayer games on there, because there is a few multiplayer games on there, or you want to be able to plug this into your telly and kind of sit back and play it, for some reason it's really restrictive on what controllers you can use, which it frustrates a bit, mate, because, as we know, this technology doesn't last forever, and controllers themselves, they take a pounding.
Aye.
They probably take more of a pounding. I mean, even this one, the bumper buttons don't work for some reason. They broke, which I think speaks about the build quality of those pads. But you
Oh,
don't want to be.
shite.
Yeah, it's a shame that you can't easily replace them in a cost-effective way, I think, which is a bit sad.
Aye, it does. I mean, I knew that about this, that it was really, really fussy about what controllers were compatible. And I remember from watching reviews, like Mel, whenever he had his or Sega Lord X, so just name dropping Mel. Who's Mel? Sega Lord X. He done his review whenever he got his back in the day, and I'm sure he mentioned about the controllers as well, that it's really, really fussy. The Mega Drive Mini 2 one, that obviously works. At one point, I actually thought it was only the Japanese Mega Drive Mini 2 one that worked with it, but obviously you've tried out I know they're pretty much just the same, but you just never know. Sega might just drop something that stops it working, but it's weird that they would make it proprietary like that. that you can't just plug in any USB controller. You know, you'd think it would. What's the point of? I guess they're probably wanting to force people at that point to either buy the controllers, or, and there's arcade sticks that go with this as well, mate. You can buy an actual arcade stick replica
as well.
They're
gorgeous. They are. Really want one of those, but just like so I looked one of those up on eBay, and they were £300. I was like, okay, maybe not then.
Thing is, see this? Just boils my piss, man. So it does. It's like, why is everything in fucking retro gaming got to do this? Like, why? The minute something becomes classed as rare, that's it. It's like they just jack the price up.
I know.
And you just know for a fact that they're just going to sit there and get listed over and over and over and in the hope that some desperate bastard buys one. And then what that does is it justifies them. And then everybody else will start listing theirs and they'll go to the items sold recently to get an idea of what to list it for. And then they go, oh, one sold for £300. I'll list mine for that. And then before you know it, that becomes a norm. It annoys me. Yeah. It's like, there's no need for these things. I might say to Tom Fum, have a look near in Japan for me, mate. When Tom, I've given Tom a shopping list, man. I need to pay for an extra suitcase for him. Honestly, poor guy, man. It's like, just gets messages, mate, see if you're in Japan, can you have a wee look and see if you spot one of these? It's like,
at least he doesn't have to pick up an Astro City Mini itself now for us.
Well, that's true, mate. Aye. We managed to, we actually did something for ourselves for a change, didn't it? You know what I mean? After Tom kindly importing God knows how many things for us.
Yeah.
Punch stick controllers and Denture Day Go controllers.
Yeah. As for the unit itself, mate, you know, aside from the physical thing, yeah, I loved the UI when I started. I loved the music and stuff. Game selection is interesting. It's kind of an eclectic mix, isn't it? You get a bunch of games that you are used to seeing from Sega. You know, you've got Shinobi, you've got Space Harrier, and then you've got some oddities on there. You know, you've got, for some reason, we've got 5 puzzle games on there. Is it 5? I think it might be more, because you've got 3 versions of Columns. You've got Columns 1, Columns 2, and...
Puyo Puyo, Puyo Puyo 2.
You've got the 2 Puyo Puyo, Puyo games. That feels like it pads it out a little bit, but there are some genuine gems in here that really just haven't got, you know, released anywhere else. One of the things that I loved about it is that you get the original versions of E-Swap, Shadow Dancer, Alien Storm, Ninja Princess, because they all got ports to Sega consoles, but they're all kind of massively redesigned. E-Swap became 2 different games on Master System Mega Drive. Shadow Dancer is massively different on the Mega Drive and Master System. The arcade version just plays so much more like Shinobi for like those Shinobi purists out there. Alien Storm is much different, probably not in terms of gameplay, but in terms of level design and in visuals. You know, in the arcade game, it takes place in the city. Whereas in the Mega Drive, you're kind of like in rural America. You're kind of like out in the sticks, aren't you? So, but yeah, what were your thoughts on the library, mate, on the selection of games on there?
As you say, mate, there's the 5 puzzle games, and there's some kind of oddities on there. But you mentioned Shadow Dancer, right? And that's why I did that. Because my first experience of playing Shadow Dancer was the Amiga version.
Right, okay.
So when I loaded up Shadow Dancer on the Astro City Mini, in my mind's eye, I've not played the Amiga version in a long time, but I do remember the Amiga version being more faithful to the arcade than the Mega Drive version. So I instantly jumped back into it again. I was flying about and remembering where enemies were and my wee dogs jumping over crates and taking people down. I'm like, all right, okay. And even the look of it, I mean, I'm going to probably go back and look at a video of the Amiga version on YouTube later and go, oh my God. but in my mind's eye, it looked the exact same. So that was pretty cool. I mean, like yourself, mate, the first thing I've went for is Virtua Fighter. And I knew, again, from Mel's video that there was slowdown at points. you know, in like kind of replays and stuff like that. The emulation on Virtua Fighter still isn't, it's not brilliant. It's a nice version to play, don't get me wrong. There's a little bit of input lag on the unit itself that you do get used to. Within maybe a couple of minutes, you kind of acclimatise to it. Nice enough to play, but still not the optimal way to play Virtua Fighter, which we'll come back to in due course. The big one, I think, for us anyway, out with a Virtua Fighter, I think, is the Revenge of Death Adder.
Yeah.
Which is a game that, why it's never been ported, is given the success that Golden Axe had, it's just a classic Sega decision. Like, this amazingly successful Mega Drive and arcade game, and then you make a brilliant sequel, you know, and just don't port it anywhere. So I'd never played it before, Revenge of Death Adder. So like having a shot to go through and play it, and it's lovely, and you can see why it would have worked on Saturn so well. You know, the scaling effects and just glorious, mate. I think you said that's whenever you sent me this. You finished it. I seen you.
Yeah, I finished it. End. It's absolutely brilliant.
Aye. But I mean, other games like Alien Storm is another one that jumps out. It's an absolute classic. Again, loved that on the Amiga. Space Harrier, which has got a nice little kind of feature on there. If you hold the C button down, or what equates to being the C button, you can flip the controls between reverse and normal. Thank God, because I hate up for down and down for up, mate. I just, even in Panzer Dragoon, mate, the first thing I do is I go in that settings and change that. I kind of be.
I'm the opposite. I have to play it inverted, everything.
Oh.
My kids get hold of, when my kids make me play Minecraft with them, I'll pick up the controller. I'll be like, oh, what have you done to my controls? But if they try and pick up my, they're like, Dad, why do you play it like this? I'll tell you what to blame. It's blame Starwing. Blame Starwing or Star Fox. That was the game that, right. I was just like, I was playing it at friends and he was just like, I was like, why is down up and up's down? He's like, that's the way that normal, that, you know, that's when you're tilting the yoke. You know, that's the way that flight works. It's like, oh, okay. Played a lot of Starwing. So when that was ingrained from me from that age, and I've not been able to look back, even Halo and everything.
Nah, I'm sorry. Up's got to be up, mate, and down's got to be down.
I know. My brain has just been scrambled with it. I can't play stuff when it's not inverted.
And I never noticed that on Space Harrier at first. It wasn't until like I kept on flying into trees and columns and like I'm trying to dodge a fireball and I'm flying up into it and I'm like, oh, for God's sake! And I just noticed it says on the kind of selection screen, it's like, ah, right, hold that button and all right, okay. And kind of takes a couple of seconds and you see it flipping over, going from red to blue, and I'm like, ah, now I can get past the first level.
Did you get to play Dark Edge? So I think a couple of games that were interesting are seeing these Sega System 32 games that never actually came home at all, and they came out at a strange time in the early 90s where they were just before or around Virtua Racing when the 3D polygon kind of craze was kicking in. But Dark Edge was, oh, that's a, that is a strange, confusing fighting game. Because it's a 3D fighter, but you're like viewing from the view perspective is like you're coming up from like 3 foot high, and the camera doesn't move obviously, but your characters can move back and forth from the and it's interesting. It's good to see that sort of game being preserved, but it feels very experimental, brutal as well.
It's nice as well on the menu. It tells you on each game, like the board that it was on, so PCB System 32.
Yeah.
It's nice the way that it actually does give you that kind of information on there, but I've not tried that one yet. Yeah. Dark Edge.
So that's one fighting game. And I mean, we've got to talk about Virtua Fighter, mate, because obviously I think that was, for both of us, I think to a degree, this was kind of the marquee title. And I imagine it was for a lot of people that picked this up, especially in Japan. And you know, I think when we did the Virtua Fighter history video, you know, what was that? It would have been a year ago now, a year and a half. And there was a lot of people saying the Astro City version is the definitive version. obviously, I think we said at the time that the Saturn version was the best way to play it, based on the things that we'd heard about the feedback, about the slowdown, about the impact lag. What did you think about it, mate?
My first thought is that the people who replied in the comments for that Virtua Fighter video saying we have the Astro City Mini as a definitive version were clearly making that comment without having played it. When it boots up, the music hits, you get the attract modes, it gets you right in the feels, mate, and you think,
Oh
oh,
my
here
God,
we
yeah.
go. And then also you go into your select menu, everything looks great, and then it loads up and you try and do your first move, and I just mentioned that input lag. Now, input lag, right, is something that we all deal with as retro gamers. It's why we buy scalers and expensive cables to minimize it and cut it out. But we don't have that option here. We are tied to the unit. So you do have to, as I say, acclimatize to it. And you do. I was still pulling off Akira's moves, you know, pretty much as expected, shoulder dashes, double kicks, we shoulder dash round behind them, still managing to do those moves, but you do need to kind of get the timing in your mind for it. It's not as intuitive as on, say, the Saturn version, you know, or of course the original arcade version. During the replays, there's oddly enough, there's some polygonal glitching. Does that mean the Saturn version is actually arcade perfect then? It's obviously because of the emulation. And replays, there's elements of kind of slow down as well. And then, as we say later on, in later stages in the game, the further you go in, you experience kind of slow down within the game itself. So, yeah, it's not the best way to play VF1. So, we're still waiting on an arcade perfect VF1 port. Virtua Fighter 10th anniversary on PS2 doesn't count because that's VF4 Evolution with a VF1 skin. The stances are wrong, the moveset's wrong. It might look like VF1, but it still isn't. So that vanilla VF1 experience and utter perfection continues to elude us. And as we discussed on WhatsApp, mate, we stand by what we said a year and a half ago. The Saturn version is still the best way to play it at home.
It is, mate. It's almost a tragedy, really, because the Saturn version just nails the gameplay. I was the same as you when I booted up that attract mode. I was like, this is so sharp. This looks absolutely gorgeous. You know, I was playing a lot of it emulated before, especially when I was capturing footage for the video for the retrospective. I was playing a lot of it on MAME and played a lot of these games on MAME. You know, played. You know, all of these games can be emulated and have emulated, but I think that probably get back to the fact that there is something special about playing them on this hardware, which makes it really alluring. But the problem with Virtua Fighter and MAME is it's completely broken. It's never been fixed, as far as I'm aware. But you know, as recently as a few months ago, we still don't have proper collision detection in that game. Still doesn't work properly. You'll have kicks that go right through characters' faces and don't do anything, and then you'll get knocked over by a kick that doesn't come near them. So, yeah, it's a pretty way to play it on MAME, especially from a capture perspective for the retrospective. But it's far from ideal. You know, it's not really playable. So I had high hopes for this one. And it looks gorgeous, you know, when it boots up and then the music hits. And I played this with the Mega Drive controller. So I sat back and this was going through my monitor. And, you know, I did feel that input lag first of all, but you know, you just adjust to it. But by the time I got to Wolf stage, and at that point, it's not just the replays, it's the whole camera sweeping round and starting the round. It just really chugs, and then you feel that in the gameplay. I got to the point, you know, through my first playthrough, I just found it unplayable. Just really, just couldn't progress past Wolf because it was just really chugging, which is a shame because, you know, I think it's one of these ones that probably does benefit from two players playing, possibly if you both play Jackie's stage, the most vanilla stage with the least slowdown.
I
But yeah, it for all the shit it got, all the, you know, and still get disappointing port, you know, poor port, crap port. Saturn version is still the best way to play this game in the home. You can't emulate it. The Asteroid City version has issues. 32X version has a little bit more slowdown and is heavily simplified. You know, for all the glitching polygons, you know, in the replays, mind you, not so much in gameplay. Sega Saturn Virtua Fighter is just the way to. If anything else, mate, it made me appreciate the Sega Saturn port more playing this version.
Aye, as you say, mate, all the shit that the Saturn port, as you say, gets, even from people who pick it up and kind of use the internet myths and Wikipedia articles against it, you know, it's still the most faithful representation in the home, you know, of the game. It plays brilliant, you know. I still think it looks lovely, you know. It's just obviously. Maybe a bit of nostalgia and a bit of bias there, but you know, I still think it's got that beautiful, timeless look. That the flat shaded look, it betrays the depth that lies beneath. You know, it's such an amazingly complex, deep, you know, learning curve on there is phenomenal. The move set, it's just the actual combat itself, everything from the arcade in terms of gameplay is there on the Saturn. You know, it's sounds the same, feels the same for most part, looks pretty damn close. And whenever you hook the Astro City Mini up to your TV, well, I had it on through HDMI and the telly, and don't get me wrong, mate, it looks glorious on like the big telly. But it's again, this just goes to show it's about how good it looks. Does it play the way it's meant to play, then it becomes pointless. And I think it is the marquee title. You can tell it's the marquee title. It's the first game listed on the list. It's, you know, it's prominently the first screenshot on the side of the box as well. You know, it's the most advanced game on the list. It's the only Model 1 game on there. You know, the rest are all kind of System 32 and kind of prior. So it is the marquee title. And even Sega themselves can't provide an official unit that can emulate it properly. So what chance has anybody else got? As you said as well, mate, the MAME version. I remember whenever you captured the footage for that retrospective, and he says that the collision detection is just completely humped. It's like nothing's kicks don't register, else they register late. And aye, it's a shame that it isn't quite the experience that we'd hoped it was going to be.
Yeah, it really is. It's a shame because there's a lot of good games on there. I think the input lag, to varying degrees, impacts different games. Obviously,
Aye.
that's the big one. It's a shame that it affects that one. I think it affects that one the most, probably because it is the most advanced title. But yeah, for most games like Dark Edge, I think I struggled. I'm not sure if that was input lag or the fact that I've never been able to get on with that game. But I didn't experience it so much in stuff like Iswa or Revenge of Death Adder. Revenge of Death Adder, for example, that felt fine.
Aye. Even like the original Golden Axe is on there as well,
It is,
and
yeah.
Alien Syndrome, Alien, Alien Storm, Alien Syndrome, and Alien. I get them mixed up all the time.
Yeah.
Alien Storm, Altered Beast, Fantasy Zone, like Rad Mobile, which I've just got running just now. You know, the infamous, you know, Rad Mobile. Came to Saturn as Gale Racer, of course, with draw distance. It's 2 foot in front of you. Playing that, I thought that was fine. Got some later stages in that and like bits that I hadn't got to in the Saturn game, you know, police cars that come out of nowhere and park in front of you, and I'm like, if I ever get to that stage on the Saturn version, there's no chance you're dodging those because they would just appear there. Like, but aye, the input lag does affect different games to a different degree. The kind of more simpler games doesn't seem to be any issue at all, but as you say, mate, I think because of VF being as advanced as it is, also it being a kind of probably also the first kind of version of the modern fighting game, so it requires timing, you know, more than also the like Street Fighter 2 and all that. You've got your timing for your combos as well, but as a 3D fighting game, you know, you've got to, for some of these moves,
you've got to have your character in the right position at the right time, and you know, corresponds to where your opponent's standing, and getting like the moves, the movements on the joystick just spot on. You add the input lag into the precision for the moves. Sometimes it can frustrate. As I say, I did pull off most of Akira's moves, but I wasn't pulling them off every time. So, it's a shame, mate, because I did hope that we were going to finally have a version of VF1. Like, my whole premise whenever I seen that, when it was announced, was I've got a Virtua Fighter 1 machine. I would pay 100 quid just for Virtua Fighter. I remember I said at the time.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't pay 100 quid for this.
There are, yeah. Yeah, I think 100 quid, even though it's a lovely unit, as we said, screen's pretty decent despite being 16:9. Even though it's overall it's lovely, and there's some lovely games in there. I think the library and the actual emulation itself probably comes a little bit short in terms of giving us kind of value for money. But that said, there are some games that are great on here. You know, playing Quartet. It's Quartet 2, even though it's not. For those that don't know, Quartet 2 is not a sequel. Quartet 2. Quartet is a four-player kind of platform run and gun. Quartet 2 just refers to the fact that it's Quartet, but restricted to two players. And every game on here is restricted to two players, like Revenge of the Fighter, which, you know, it's fine. One thing that did grate a little bit is... a little bit of a criticism, I suppose. I don't know whether it's to be levied at, I suppose, Limited Run Games, because they've picked this up, they put their name on it, and they said, we're making this available to the West, is the lack of any sort of localization for any of the games on here. Worst of these, I would say, is Wonder Boy Monster Land, because that game is completely in Japanese, which, you know, English versions are around. You know, you've got an English... and you've got a Master System version. The game came to arcades. You know, it's got an English version. There's no reason why, you know, just with a little bit more work, could have got the Western ROM on there, the US ROM or whatever it is, or however recompiled or whatever it is that they did to do that. If you're selling these units for, I think that they retailed for quite a bit more than 100, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Originally. Mm-hmm. I think if you're selling these, obviously, the price now, I think it's fine, but I think it is a little bit disappointing that there's no localization of the individual games whatsoever. Obviously, with the Mega Drive Mini 2, the Mega Drive Mini, you can select your language, and that will give you the ROM for region.
Aye.
But yeah, that frustrated me a little bit, mate. I don't know if you had anything else, if that frustrated you, or you had anything else that kind of...
See, that's what I was trying to figure out with this, right? So, how are these replicas by Limited Run Games of the ones that were sold in Japan? Or, like, have Limited Run had any creative input into this? Or have they just basically been given units and put their own... Have they had a deal with Sega and put their own packaging together? I'm trying to kind of figure out, did they have any input at all? Because obviously they must have a relationship with Sega, because we've seen the stuff recently about Virtua Fighter 2, you know, ripped off the online stores for Xbox, and, you know, suddenly it's getting a physical release through Limited Run. But are these just basically Sega going, right, so yeah, these are the exact same as the Japanese ones, just go and slap a more kind of localized box art on there? Or did they have any say at all? Because, like, as you say, mate, it's... Even, what was the thing I seen in the unit? High resolution graphics and stereo of the art sound double your playing enjoyment above the joystick. Now, I don't know if that's what the Japanese one says.
Yeah, that's the famous... That's why I adapted the intro to say that. That's on all Astro Cities.
Right, the stereo of the art sound, right, okay, that's fine, there you go. See, I went over my head, mate, there you go. But it's a... I just wonder how much input they could have had into it, to obviously, as you say, maybe localise it a bit better. One thing I did like is the original Cotton's on there, which is nice. You know, having that on there, that's an, that was a kind of standout one. Thunder Force AC as well on there. You know, some decent games.
Yeah. AC is an interesting one because obviously it's a remix version of Thunder Force 3 on the Mega Drive and Genesis. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. It's not my favourite. I probably prefer the original Thunder Force 3, but it's nice to have that version to play on in the home. But yeah, I think I do get the feeling that these were just, these weren't manufactured or anything in limited run. They were just, they just basically took the Japanese stock and put it in a Western packaging. The unit I think is exactly the same because the options are the same. I think, I can't remember if it defaulted to Japanese language now. I can't remember off the top of my head. But
when I turned mine on, it was at the menu to select your language.
Yeah.
Which, again, I had already loaded up a video, a review, expecting to have to dig in to find the option. But when I loaded it up, that's what greeted me. That was the first thing it was there. I just picked my language straight away, which was handy. Don't get me wrong, but I was expecting to have to kind of dig into the menus and find my way around and change it to English.
Yeah, I think Japanese is the first option. I think Japanese is the one that's selected by default, actually. But yeah, it's good that it comes up at the top. I mean, it does feel like quite a lazy localization. Yeah, I'm glad that we got it, and I think for the price, it kind of is still a bargain, especially for some of these games. And there's a lot of games that I really loved on here that I really love playing. Captured a lot of footage on here, which probably our viewers on YouTube will be able to see. But yeah, some of these games, it's wonderful to go back to. You know, it's good to have mainstays like Space Harrier and Shinobi. I didn't play much of Shinobi or Golden Axe, because I've played those two games to absolute death, not just throughout my life, but in the last 2 years. Like, thank the homebrew community for for putting Golden Axe on 32X and then on Neo Geo, and then me being me having to play it on every other Sega console for comparison.
That when I loaded Shinobi up, that was my point of reference, was obviously the Hoffman, the port on the Dreamcast. I played the Neo Geo One port, the port of a port. the Shinobi Inception, you know, on the Dreamcast. But I know there's some real standout titles on here. Obviously, Altered Beast as well, you know, in there.
Yeah,
Golden Axe, SWAT, Shadow Dancer, Alien Storm, all kind of staples of the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I love Alien Storm, especially with the intro when you get the arcade version, that is. I do like it on Mega Drive as well, but I love the arcade version because it has it's just a lot more lighthearted. I don't know if you watched the intro where they have they get in there, they're serving their fast food van, and they turn it down, it turns into, it's called, no, it's Alien Burgers, isn't it? And then they change it so it turns to Alien Busters. Yeah, that's the one. There it is. It's absolutely superb. And I don't know if you got to play Alien Syndrome, which I always, as much as I've been around those games for so long, I always mistake one for the other, just on name. But Syndrome is obviously the top-down game that got a Master System port. The Master System port isn't great, but the arcade game is really good. Going around rescuing scientists and stuff, but it's absolutely bastard hard. Definitely one I'd recommend, though.
It's like the way you described it there. It sounds like, was it Alien Breed on the Amiga, the Team 17 game? That was kind of like top-down kind of shooter, taking on aliens and finding keys to unlock rooms and rescue survivors and stuff. But at Alien Storm, again, I played Alien Storm on the Amiga. Suffice to say, this is a much, much better version.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I think, mate, because it's like Shadow Dancer, because the Amiga got the more faithful ports that were direct ports of the arcade games, whereas the Mega Drive and Master System after a certain point just got kind of remixes of these games. You know, Eastwatt's completely different on the Mega Drive. Shadow Dancer's completely different. Alien Storm, largely the same in terms of premise and gameplay, but in terms of level design and stuff, it's different. But that's one thing I love about this. And playing games like Quartet and Alien Syndrome that, were kind of butchered on the Master System. But yeah, I do love Alien Storm, especially when you've got the people that walk along that look like zombies and they turn into the aliens.
One thing I did want to bring up, mate, was the controller quality that's on the unit.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Because the joystick, it feels mildly micro switched. It's not quite as
Yes.
clicky, and I was expecting it to be a bit more clicky. And the six buttons, while they are serviceable, they also lack any real distinct click. They feel quite spongy.
Yeah.
So like whenever you move it, you can feel a slight click when you move the joystick, but it's not quite as pronounced as say like the Japanese Sega Saturn Virtua Stick. In fact, it kind of sits halfway between the PAL Virtua Stick and the Japanese one. It's the PAL Virtua Stick when the Saturn's an abomination. It feels like an Amiga joystick. There's like no
Yeah.
micro switches at all. There's a Japanese one is like fully micro switch. This kind of feels like halfway between it.
Yeah.
It's weird. The buttons again, they're nice, but there's no, they just feel kind of clicky,
Yeah.
but they're not.
It don't feel like it feels like an almost Sanwa sort of quality stick, doesn't it?
Aye.
It feels like it's almost there, but not quite. It's like
Aye, so.
the joystick feels like it's micro switched because it's so small.
Like, I can definitely feel it. It's
Yeah,
like.
you can feel something, but it's not quite. Yeah, I'd be interested to know because obviously I think when you talk about the build quality of the unit, as we were saying earlier, the LCD screen probably was kind of an off-the-shelf solution. But there's no real off-the-shelf solution for these sort of arcade sticks, aside from the cheap ones that you see. But they don't feel cheap, but they're not quite about the quality of a proper Sanwa arcade stick.
Right.
There's a big difference between the coin and start buttons, though, and the action buttons, because the six fascia buttons, they do feel kind of spongy, whereas the coin and start ones are proper clicky.
Aye, and you need to press both the yellow buttons at the same time. Say bring the menu up to go back to the main menu as well. So again, I just found that out by complete chance. It's probably the manual, right? But I just went, how do I get back to just went, I guess I'll press these two at the same time, something will happen. I mean, the thing I do like about it, right, is if I power it off again, right? Like when it says shutting down, right? But what I do like is also when it goes off, see the light at the top? I do like that. I like that. Yeah, that's nice. And again, in terms of it's hefty without being like overly. It doesn't feel light enough to be like feel cheap, but it's not kind of. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could probably sneak this in my bag and take it in the office for like lunch breaks and stuff, and just sit there and have a wee shot at some stuff. It's portable enough. Obviously, you do need. I've got like a just now it's plugged out of the USB on the laptop, but I've just got a standard iPhone plug to use with a USB cable for what to plug it into the wall. But there's no. I think some people might have thought that was a battery compartment.
No, I actually did.
But it's just to replicate the service panel for the arcade machine. But it's there's the menu we spoke about as well. You know what I mean? So it's just. You get different screenshots as well, each game, a wee bit of information on there. So it's for what we paid, mate, I can't grumble, but I'm glad I didn't jump on one when they were new.
I think for the games included, for the performance and for the issues that come with it, I think it's hard to sell at like £100+. But if you can go into a limited run and get one and wait 2 months for them to ship it and send it over, it's not a bad. It's a pretty good bargain, I think. I mean, I am actually really pleased with a lot of it. I'm really pleased playing a lot of the games on here. I'm really pleased that they get a lot of airtime. It's a crying shame that this is kind of going to be the last of its breed, the last new style mini. Obviously, the V is a remix version of this, the Mega Drive Mini 2. While it is kind of its own thing, it kind of still is the Mega Drive again. Yeah, well, with that said, mate, I don't know if you want to talk about what your three favorite games on the unit are that you played, and we'll do one each in turn, I think. And there'll probably be some overlap.
I would imagine, mate. On you go. You go first, then.
Right. So I'll go from worst to best. So no, number three, I've got eSwap. This is a game that I have very fond memories of, as I was. It's the thing about these games, mate, isn't it? Because they stick with you. You know, we've talked over and over again about, you know, memories going into an arcade. This one was in a family holiday. We were in Ayia Napa, and we were just kids. And in the hotel, they had a single arcade machine, and that arcade machine was eSwap. And at the time, parents would give us a few coins to play on it. But then there was quite a few kind of more senior people around the pool. And for some reason, they liked me and my brother and my sister would dive to the bottom of the pool, and they'd flick coins in, and we'd go and get them, and we'd get to keep the coins, and we'd have this big stack of change to put in the eSwap machine. And oh, me and my brother played eSwap so much, so much. One of my overriding memories from that holiday, and we got right to the penultimate mission where you fight the two kind of cyborg things at the end that look like you but got like horns and stuff. So playing it on that, you know, after years of playing the Mega Drive version or this version emulated, it's just absolutely wonderful. It's a superb game, especially when you get your suit. You know, it starts off playing a bit like a Shinobi Rolling Thunder type game, and it kind of still is that when you get into the big mech suit. But you know, it's like you basically become Robocop on steroids, don't you? You know, you make great big suit, you kind of machine gun cannon arm, and then you can pick up various other power ups. It's brutally hard, especially because much like games like Shinobi, when you get to the last stage, you can't continue. So I've never actually beaten it.
Safe states, mate. That's what safe states are.
I know. The thing is, you've got to get to the safe state where you've got enough ammo and lives to get through.
Old school, mate.
Yeah. But Shinobi, Shinobi's brutal. But luckily, I was playing. Obviously, I beat it recently via the Neo Geo port, which does let you continue on the last stage. But yeah, it's a brutal game. But yeah, that's my number three, mate. What about yourself?
I'm going to go in with the original Golden Axe. Again, most of these games, these Sega games, were some of the earliest ones that I played on like the ST or the Amiga, you know. So that was my kind of first exposure to Sega games in the home, with some of these kind of US Gold kind of you know, conversions or ports. And I played an actual proper version of Golden Axe. Again, the Mega Drive version is brilliant, but obviously there's kind of limitations on it. The Amiga version certainly has limitations on it, even compared to the Mega Drive version. But I just having that on there in all its glory is brilliant, mate. It's interesting to see and play. Because again, they're games that I've never ever went back and emulated. You know, like just these, the 2D games, you know, if I've ever emulated, I've always went for the Mega Drive version for some reason. So I always find like MAME and stuff a pain in the ass to set up. So like Golden Axe, I think the majority of the time after the Amiga or ST version, it's been the Mega Drive version that I've played. So I haven't the actual arcade ROM on this unit as well is nice, mate. The kind of the color palette, the parallax scrolling on there, just all the kind of details about the enemies, how they stay on the ground, they don't just vanish, they fade in color and they stay there, stuff like that. So I know it was good to finally have a proper arcade perfect version sitting on this little unit. But Golden Axe, mate, I've put as my number three.
Yeah, it's a superb version. And yeah, it's a brilliant way to play. As I say, I think a little bit golden axed out after playing the Neo Geo version and also the, all the other versions recently. But it's one of my favourite games of all time. I think the only other official arcade port that's come close is the Xbox 360 port. Because you had the trilogy, which was the Mega Drive games, but you also had the standalone Golden Axe version, which was the arcade game. But it was one of those Sega Vintage Collection deals where they have all the rubbish filters and smoothing and stuff and the crappy UI, which is a shame. Good memories of that version, though. I remember coming home from the pub at 2 in the morning and playing it and going online. It's like, all right, I'll see if I can get someone to play co-op. Got some random Xbox 360 player. And all I remember from him is that he had an Irish accent. I think he was as pissed as I was. And a lot of the dialogue from us on our Xbox 360 headsets was, they go, you go again. And the other one would go, what? What? And it's like we couldn't understand what each other was saying because we were both slurring and everything. But we managed to beat the game.
Golden Axe, pished. Oh. I think you actually get the Ian Michael port of a port.
Yeah. Yeah,
I need to get that as well.
It's on Dreamcast as well now, isn't it? Yeah.
That's right. I like Shinobi, so I need to get my hands on that as well and try that out.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great port on here, mate. Number two for me is probably a controversial one, but I really enjoy playing it with the pad. Radmobile. Really loved playing this properly now. Gale Race, it just shows opposite of Virtua Fighter. Playing Virtua Fighter on the Astro City Mini makes you appreciate the Saturn version. Playing Radmobile on the Astro City version makes you realise how shite the Saturn version of Gale Racer is.
It's bad.
But yeah, it's just such a wonderful game, mate. I mean, there's some design oddities on there. You know, you get some of the stages where it's like there's just the road and there's no sides to it. You know, the speed that it moves, the first person perspective, the little Sonic dangling. I remember playing this game in the arcades many, many years ago. Probably about 95, because it was a time when I was playing, or maybe 96 when I was playing Virtua Cop 2. It was just like just around the corner from me. But, you know, it was a great game in the arcade, and this is it's kind of done justice on here. I didn't feel that there was that much input lag. It's rock hard. Especially when you get to the, it's the same. I basically get stuck on the Saturn version when you get to the cliff, and you kind of, it's like watch out for oncoming traffic, and you've got traffic coming one way, you've got traffic in front of you going in the same direction. You can't really, if you try and overtake them, you go head on. If you try and go around them to the left, you'll fall off the cliff. And when you get to that stage, it's kind of like you have one mistake and you're not going to make it. But yeah, it's rock hard, but just kind of unique. You've got that proper, you know, race across America. You put your lights on when it's dark. You put your wipers on when it rains. It's absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely bonkers. It's pure Sega, I think. That's that game. It's like Outrun going in a different direction.
I mean, the Saturn version, I think people try and kind of point the blame at... They swapped the cars out for polygonal versions on the Saturn. I'm like, no, that's not going to do anything to the draw distance. That was just badly made. It was just like, oh, like, and don't get me wrong, like the draw distance, there's still points in Radmobile where, or Radmobile, I get chinned for that for saying it wrong. but you still see in the distance, it is still like the track drawing in. It just draws in a hell of a lot further down the line than what it does on the Saturn version. Like, the one that gets me is at the second stage, the Mojave Desert. Like, it says, watch out for incoming traffic, and it's literally traffic going from like right to left. Like, you have no chance.
You go to the crossroads, don't you? But I always make it through there, even though it seems like I've actually hit a... I've hit the traffic, but I'm trying to remember who it was, because just going to try and look it up, who it was that did the Sega Saturn port, because
there's literally no reason for that to be like the way it is. It's like maybe the homebrew guys can make a better version. I don't know. It's like, would it be worth their time and hassle to do that?
Yeah,
but I mean, there's kind of variances as well. Like the arcade version being an arcade game. The progression through the stages is more fluid. that Saturn obviously kind of uses like time kind of summary screens and stuff to hide the loading between stages. But all the kind of little kind of intricacies are all kind of spot on in the Saturn, like the map, the kind of the font, the style of the game itself. Everything looks the part. Why they changed the name? No idea why it had to become Gale Racer, but it's just a shame. I don't know why the Saturn version's so bad draw distance, because everything else is absolutely spot on. It runs at a good pelt, half the frame rate, obviously. It's only 30 as opposed to the 60. But I did defend the Saturn version quite a bit, despite that draw distance in the past. But having played the arcade version,
I think trying to make it polygon does contribute maybe a little bit. You think, you know, cars are single sprites in the arcade game, whereas on the Sega Saturn, they'll all have numerous sides and vertices and polygons. You know, if you took all of those polygons and made them individual sprites to put in the track, would it have made much of a difference? Maybe a little. But yeah, it's a shame, mate, but because the arcade game is so good. I've defended Gale Racer myself like you have, mate, and I don't think it's a terrible game, but it's just a bad version of a great game.
It was Sacom that developed the Saturn port along with Sega CS1.
That's it, yeah. They didn't really have a history of making kind of arcade racing ports.
No, they did Grand Slam, the tennis tournament on Mega Drive. They did Yumeni Mystery Mansion on the Mega CD.
Yeah.
They did Gale Racer, Mansion of Hidden Souls, Rampo, Toriko, Jiku Tantai DD, Maboroshi no Lorai on the Saturn. Deep Fear.
Yeah, they contributed to Deep Fear.
And Fake Down, unreleased. So just basically their contribution to those various games will obviously differ depending on what role they had, but they made an arse of Gale Racer, mate.
Yeah. So that was my second place, mate. What about you?
Shadow Dancer, mate. Again, a game I loved on the Amiga, and I kind of slipped quite comfortably into my surroundings on that one, because I did play that one a lot on the Amiga. And it's just, it's brilliant. It's just obviously it takes the whole Shinobi formula, but adding in the kind of the dog mechanic as well. So, you know, you can duck behind a crate and your dog will fly over and take the guy down or distract him, engage in combat with him and allow you to get a shot in. Visually gorgeous. Love the big sprites on there. Proper like ninja as well. You know, the kind of the visual look as well. Just love playing that game. Played it to death on the Amiga, so that was one that I went to quite quickly after Virtua Fighter. I was kind of going through. My order of play was Virtua Fighter, Revenge of Death Adder, and then Shadow Dancer. So that was the order I played them in. That kind of jumped out at me whenever I seen the list of games. So Shadow Dancer, mate. I say, I'm going to go back and have a look at the Amiga version to see just how close my mind's eye is remembering things. or do I just leave it and just let it remain beautiful, glorious nostalgia? But when I booted it up, I'm like, oh, hi. The Amiga version is absolutely spot on. That's exactly what it looks like. I bet it doesn't, but Shadow Dancer, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brutally hard, though. I find it much harder than Shinobi. Shinobi, you can kind of fumble your way through the first few levels to the first boss, but Shadow Dancer, I just find it really hard.
In fact, you know what, mate? I'm going to load up a video of Shadow Dancer on the Amiga just now. Let's just get that reaction. Let's just
Shadow Dancer. In real time.
Hi. Right, here we go. We've got World of Long Plays from 7 years ago. Once we get past the PPI car scandal advert. There we go. Mate, that's not bad.
That's all right, actually.
That's decent.
Yeah, that doesn't look too bad at all.
That's aged really well.
There's a Mega Drive remix version of Run For Its Money.
I'm well chuffed with that.
Maybe your mind's eye isn't too...
That's not bad,
too inaccurate, mate.
You're chuffed with that.
So my number one, mate, and I imagine this is going to be the same as your number one, is Revenge of Death Adder. I mean, making assumptions there. So if your number one is different, let me know. But my number one is definitely Revenge of Death Adder. I mean, what a game that is. I mean, it just delivers in every single way. It's a shame that it's not four player. Not that I could really probably get four players to play it with me on the Astro City unit. But yeah, great characters. The only thing I don't like about Revenge of Death Adder versus the original Golden Axe is that, you know, you don't have the different tiers for your magic. You kind of got one magic attack and everyone's got kind of different amounts of magic they need to make it happen. But that aside, it's just so good. The combat's brilliant, chunky. The reactions when you hit enemies, you can feel them. Three really distinct, unique characters. You know, you've got the main barbarian character, and then you've got the centaur girl. You've got the giant with Gideon's Thunderhead on his back. And then you've got kind of the kid with the fork, and it's just, you know, it's just so much fun playing it through. You've got multiple routes. You've got an amazing soundtrack, brilliant bosses. Yeah, the soundtrack, when especially when it kicks off, it's like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, from beginning to end. And yeah, the ending is it's quite emotional, really, for anyone that hasn't finished it. But yeah, I loved playing through it again on here. It's just felt right at home. I know we talked about Virtua Fighter being the marquee title in this thing, but I think Revenge of Death Adder is definitely the best title on here, and probably is the selling point on here. You know, don't mind paying full price for this, of the pot price we paid for it for Death Adder alone.
Aye, I think it's quite kind of ironic, and that was my number one choice, you know, was going to be Revenge of Death Adder. I think whenever it got announced, it was one of the games that kind of popped up that it caught your attention purely because it's not had that port. But I think VF overshadowed it just because of our kind of history with Saturn and stuff like that. So that was the one we kind of locked eyes on straight away. But in a way, whenever you see the performance issues that Virtua Fighter's got on here, Revenge of Death Adder suddenly elevates itself to, as you said, make the marquee title. It's the reason to buy one, without doubt. Why it's not been ported anywhere, I still find astounding. As I said at the start, I just, Sega, man, what are you doing? Not on a collection, didn't get a port, isn't anywhere, but you lock it away on this proprietary little machine that, like, just madness. But the look of it, it would have been so suited to the Saturn. But again, like we spoke about before, Sega moving from one generation to another, doing the whole David Bowie thing and just remaking themselves a new identity, leaving behind what had worked for them before to try something completely different. No Streets of Rage, no Golden Axe on Saturn, nothing at all. But this, just the whole look of it, it would have worked so well. But it's that whole thing where, at the time, they moved to 3D and the stigma around 2D games, that they would have been old. Oh, why, you know, we're moving into 3D, why are you giving us this old Golden Axe thing? Well, you know, history shows us that if it had been on Saturn, it would probably have been one of the most expensive titles you could probably buy for it, you know, if it was a physical version. But the combat, I love whenever you, obviously, you pick the barbarian. Is it Stern? He's called
Stern, yeah. It's strange. They got some strange names. Dora is the centaur.
Is it Goa?
Goa is the giant, yeah.
And Trix is the.
Trix is the.
But I love the combat. It's not just, obviously, you're hacking away, but there's a bit whenever you. Is it the third strike? He kind of just takes his sword and goes, and just this big jab right in the gut. It's like, the combat's a lot more like, obviously, more animations and stuff like that. Looks glorious, runs brilliant on this. It's on my list to be the first one to kind of complete on this anyway. But it's definitely that's the reason to buy this. It's not Virtua Fighter. Disappointed that it's not Virtua Fighter, but Revenge of Death Adder, given the lack of any port elsewhere, mate, it's a worthy reason to pick one of these up.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, it's beggars belief that it's never got a Sega Saturn port. I know the whole 3D thing was a factor, but you know, they gave us this on Sega Saturn. That's a 2D game. That's a 2D game. You know, Golden Axe the Jewel, they released on the Sega Saturn. But like, not Revenge of Death Adder. They built a 2D fighting game from the ground up, which I'm a bit of a Golden Axe the Jewel apologist because I think it's a decent Samurai Showdown Street Fighter hybrid clone. But you know, I'd rather have had a port of Revenge of Death Adder for the Sega Saturn. I think it would have gone down really well. You know, you could have played it with a multi-tap. The multi-tap was around. Get four players on there. I mean, even 32X might have been able to do a serviceable job of it, mate. Just a crying shame. And the fact that Golden Axe got releases on modern consoles, or say modern, Xbox 360 is 20 years old now. Got ports to the Xbox 360 and PS3. But Revenge of Death Adder didn't. Yeah, just not right, mate. But it feels like justice is done with it being on this unit. It really does. And yeah, it's the standout title, especially if you don't want to play with main. You want to play with something. I mean, that's the beauty of this little unit, mate, is you can plug a... I've plugged it into a power bank right now while the beast is playing, and you can take it anywhere.
Revenge of Death Adder running just now.
Yeah, you can play it in bed, play it in the toilet. You can take it around anywhere. So, you know, you've got Steam Deck or whatever that people can emulate stuff on. But, yeah, I think that's the main reason to pick one up, along with some excellent other games on here. Quartet 2, obviously, Redmobile eSwap. There's a good... I'd say, out of the 37 games, mate, if you love puzzle games, there's a good 34 that are excellent. If you don't like puzzle games, it dips below 30. But, you know, I do have a soft spot for the original Columns and Puyo Puyo 2.
One thing I did laugh about in Revenge of Death Adder, mate, is if you use your power-ups, your magic, you get the animation of the enemy's faces melting.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh. Bit of gore in there, bit of gore.
Yeah.
But see, though, you talked about the jewel. There's one thing about Golden Axe of Jewel, right? And I was playing Revenge of Death Adder, and you get to the bit where you walk up into the screen to kind of hit the wee magic guys, mm-hmm. and then they drop the power ups. It just made me think whenever you jump into the screen in Golden Axe of Jewel, I'm like, yeah. There's bits of it in there. It's like,
I know.
It's like, but no, it's brilliant to have it. As I say, game I've wanted to, you know, properly play for a while. It just does lots of things different, adds to the whole Golden Axe formula, like, you know, into the caves and it's dark and you kind of turn the torches on and stuff like that.
That's brilliant.
Lots of nice touches in there. More varied enemy types as well. We'll see the kind of effect of you use your magic. It's just looking at it running just now, it's beautiful. And again, when you hook it up through HDMI onto your TV, it's like it scales up really well. It's at 720p, but it scales up really nice. That's definitely the game to pick one up for if you're looking at it. And at the price we got them for, as I say, just under 65 quid, shipped and taxed. You know, why not?
Yeah, I think so. And that's probably a good place to leave it then, mate. I mean, in terms of the unit itself, I think if the sale's still on when this goes out for limited run games for that amount of money, definitely worth picking one up. In terms of its legacy, it's probably a mixed one. You know, input lag, a few issues, localization issues for the Western versions, even though they're being sold in the West. And obviously a very disappointing version of Virtua Fighter. But on the whole, you know, for the $55, £65 imported that we paid for, definitely highly recommended. Your mileage may vary depending on whether you've got your own emulation solutions and how much you'd value of a product like this. But yeah, mate, I'm very happy with mine despite its flaws.
Is that, mate? And I say we're from the arcade generation, mate, so just having a wee mini arcade machine still cool as fuck, right? So yeah, I don't care. It's no, I mean, it's just... And again, it's got that kind of that hook, you know, because obviously when we first met in person, at Arcade Club on your 40th and that Astro City mini room, an Astro City room, I should say. Imagine a room full of Astro City minis, that'd be interesting. Yeah. But aye, that room was just magical, man, just seeing all those cabinets. So that little kind of hook is in there as well now. So no, they're definitely worth picking up at the price that they're running at just now.
Yeah, excellent, mate. So that'll be it for us. So yeah, love to hear what your thoughts are if you've played the Astro City Mini or if you're thinking of getting one. You know, 4 years later, I think it's still a very, very interesting product. So if you'd like to get in touch with us via the comments below or via the Sega Guys Discord, thank you so much for watching. And if you want to be extra mega, can think about becoming a member, which you can do from as little as 99p, and you get a bunch of wonderful little perks, early access to a number of our videos. And if you're an Akira All Access member, you get your name read out as James is about to right now.
Certainly, our Akira All Access members for today's show are G-Man, Stiff Peaks, Mikowski, Craig Williamson, Sega Saturn Shiro, Resident SD, P-Wall, Peter 007, Andy Mackey, Nick Tullock, Greg Matthews, David Owens, Tom Thumb, Kaiju Leviathan, best username ever, Craig Sayre, and Nelson Serino as well. So that is our premium members, or sorry, not premium, all access members, as we've rejigged the tiers. But thank you very much to all 30 of our members, as well as all of our subscribers as well, for your continued support. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you so much. You've just passed 11,000 subscribers, which is absolutely insane. Thank you so much for subscribing. Whether you're a member, whether you're a subscriber, or whether you're just stopping by and watching and spending some time with us, talking some Sega, we really appreciate every single one of you guys, supporters, viewers. Just thanks for coming by, sticking with us, and loving Sega. So plenty more to come. And until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
Sega!